Happy game day! You are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a wild card playoff game day for your Houston Texans, as they'll be in Pittsburgh, Acrisure Stadium, facing off against the number four Pittsburgh Steelers with an opportunity to maybe see, we now know, the New England Patriots. In the divisional round.
Yes, sir.
How you doing today, gentlemen? I see you guys in some fantastic Swarm City hoodies.
Swarm City.
We ready to swarm, man. I don't know about you.
Do I need to get on the trend and also?
I took my shirt off that I had today. This showed up. Take your shirt off.
Okay, out of context. That's kind
my
of
my shirt
insane.
Off. My shirt off. My shirt off.
Where are we at, ladies and gentlemen?
Let's on peer a pressure.
Take the shirt off and all the girls start screaming.
What kind of hoodie are you wearing there, Figgy?
I'm wearing a Swarm City.
Ask
hoodie.
Me.
What kind of hoodie you wearing?
I'm wearing a Swarm City. Showed up at the studio today.
Lopez, are you ready to swarm?
I am ready to swarm.
Reggie, are you ready to swarm?
I'm wearing a blue hoodie.
He ain't ready to swarm.
There's one for you right there.
He ain't trying to swarm, all right, man.
I want you to strip and put that on.
Okay. We have started the show in one of the weirdest ways possible, but obviously this is a day to be weird. It's a wild card playoff game day for your Houston Texans, because at 7:15, they will kick off against the Pittsburgh Steelers with the opportunity to exercise some demons. One, two, get their first victory in these particular circumstances, having to go on the road in the playoffs. First time starting or getting into the playoffs without winning their division. There's a lot of firsts possible in this game. So how are you feeling? What's happening with you?
Man, what's the vibe?
Hey,
it's not just me, right? I mean, we always get pumped up and excited for playoff football in this city. Does it feel even ramped up a little more?
I think so.
Because you're the last game?
I think so. Because usually you get a little hype on that Friday.
Right.
And for some reason, I thought it was just me. I ain't say nothing, but I'm like, man, I'm not really – hyped about this game
right now.
Yeah, it hit me yesterday.
It hit me yesterday too.
Yesterday after the Patriots won, I'm like, all right, it's our time now.
Yeah, mine was actually earlier during the day. It's like, you know, the Texans and us as fans, you're sitting back, you know the plan, you know the layout, and you're the only game in town. Hell, we're watching ESPN right now, live from Shorty's Bar in Pittsburgh. And you know, there's some Texans fans.
Why aren't we live from Shorty's Bar?
Why aren't we live from Shorty's Bar in Pittsburgh?
Hey, you got to ask Parker that question.
But it just feels ramped up even more. And you know when it really hit me? When we saw that you can not only exercise demons, you mentioned it today, and I don't care what anybody says, it's actually gaining more traction. The whole Mike Renfro, Pastorini, Bump Phillips, Pittsburgh thing, different time. Different team. Different organization, all that stuff. But it's you're fooling yourself if you don't think it's part of it. You're fooling yourself. And not only that, now we know New England. You can exercise some demons today. You can exercise some demons next Sunday, we presume. Well, it is going to be next
It will
Sunday.
Be Sunday. It's either 3:30 or 7.
It better be Sunday. They better not play no Saturday game.
It will be.
Ask the Niners about that.
They've already set the schedule, okay, so we know it would be on
and
Sunday.
And then if Buffalo wins – and goes on, you can exercise some Bills demons as well. Steelers, Patriots, and Bills are potentially on the table.
Yeah, you are crafting, or a path has been crafted and laid before you where you could possibly exercise the demons of Houston football past.
Yes.
Exercise the demons of Houston Texans playoff football past with the Patriots. Mm-hmm, and then go in there and take down what has been a team that you've handled up very well, but what is looked at as the best quarterback, at least on the AFC side, in this tournament right now, and get yourself to the playoffs. But it all starts the Super Bowl rather. But it all starts here with this game today. And actually, you started talking about some of the effects that we've seen from the Wild Card Weekend. Let's look at the Wild Card Weekend a little bit, and what can it tell us about this game, or just the Texans, just generally in the playoffs here, John Lopez?
Every game had something in common. I'm watching it. And, of course, the craziest one doesn't even directly affect the Texans just yet. And that's Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, with the
Bears getting
the full Jordan pass. He does the old Jordan move and creates.
Looks like the jump man and everything.
Yeah, jump man is what I meant to say. And makes that fourth down conversion. But let's look at what's happening in this postseason so far.
Let's do it. Did you have fun watching them, first and foremost?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
It felt like...
hey, that game we was talking about that was going to be a dud, that was probably one of the better games.
Shout out to Bryce Young out here making that fifth-year option.
I wasn't familiar with your game.
That's right.
He was having a good time. And they showed up pretty well against the Rams. Obviously, mm-hmm. the Rams were able to get it done, but it felt like David Hellman covers the, or you know, mm-hmm. talks about the NFL for the Athletic Football Show. Mm-hmm. He called it. It felt like you had a pitcher who had like a perfect game into the eighth, and then the last game was just him, yeah. him giving it up with Patriots Chargers. Of course, it had interest to us, but I think it was the only game of the wild card weekend to this point that did not have a lead change in the final 3 minutes of the game.
But it had a quarterback making a spectacular play when he needed it most. That would be Matthew Stafford.
No, not that game. I'm talking about like the last game.
The Patriots. The last one for
yeah.
sure.
Patriots. And that was the yeah. only game that didn't yeah. have a lead change in the final 3 minutes.
Gotcha.
That's the type of excitement we had, and I hope that stops. I hope that the Patriots yeah. stopped the excitement, because we don't really need an exciting game in yeah. this one for the Texans.
But we noticed, I noticed something, and I'm sure you did as well. You know, you had a really, really wild, tough, incredible comeback by the Bears. Caleb Williams made an incredible play to turn that game.
Yes.
Then you go to the Bills game, the Bills and Jaguars. Josh Allen just pile-driving fools 10 yards.
Didn't know you could do that. Didn't know you could make the tush push into an explosive, or a quarterback sneak into yes. explosive, but apparently you can.
Yes.
Was that Osiris Torrance that basically took Josh Allen, one of the biggest, baddest yeah. Quarterbacks we have, and put him in a baby Bjorn and just carried him to the yes. to the doorstep of the end zone?
Yes. And then Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy just humiliating the Eagles with big plays.
I feel like the Eagles humiliated themselves to some degree.
I should have saw that coming, to be honest, yes. because I think we were talking about the games, and I think we all might have said Philly
yeah.
was going to take this game. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, I don't know, man. It's kind of a mess over there in Philly.
It's getting messier.
Yeah.
And even, you mentioned the last game, Drake May with some incredibly timely runs on third and fourth down.
And that'd be, like, mm-hmm. My eyes opened wide yes. as it felt very, very inevitable as you watched that game, that the Patriots would be the next stop for yeah. for whoever wins this game. And I was like, ooh, okay.
And their defense.
That woke up times yeah. of early portions of this season
yeah.
against this Texas defense, where I was like, ooh, but that's not for them to consider at this moment just yet. But
right,
you're making the point of these quarterbacks having fantastic play.
The common denominator is your quarterback in cutting time, in the biggest moments, has to make a play. Has to make a play that is either off script or becomes something that you didn't expect. In the most timely way. You can talk about great defenses and low scoring games. You can talk about back and forth fourth quarter lead changes and all that. But ultimately, your quarterback, if your team is going to win, your quarterback has to make an otherworldly type play. Hello, C.J. Stroud.
Mm.
I mean, that's what it is. C.J. Stroud, Aaron Rodgers, you know, one of these two guys. I don't know how it's going to play out. I think it's going to be a very low scoring game. Obviously, because of the defenses. I think it's going to be really, really hard hitting. There's going to be a lot of run attempts that both teams are going to try to establish the run. There's going to be a lot of safe, pass plays and all that. But Reggie, Figgy, the quarterback that makes the play, we have example after example after example. Your quarterback has to make a play.
And you know what's beautiful about that is it is not just a flat depiction of a quarterback making plays. It's not just the quarterback having to go Super Saiyan, but you need those moments
mm-hmm.
because a number of these games, you could point to the other ways in which these teams have gotten it done. Hell, the Jags losing that game.
Mm-hmm.
You could point to turnovers that were created there. You could point to the same in other of these games. You could point to defenses showing up, but you need to at least have a catalyzing moment from your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I think I believe in CJ to be capable of doing that in this game. Also because one of the things that's interesting is the Steelers like running cover three a good amount. This offense has been able to do some things when they find some cover three defenses played against them.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can keep CJ upright and keep that pocket, protected pretty well, he's done a pretty good job of attacking cover three. Now, second half of the season, they've added in more cover two with Jalen Ramsey, at safety. And that's where it gets a little dicey at times, the production for this offense versus cover two. But depending on how that flows, I believe in CJ's capability of making that throw. It's going to need to be in the right moment, right? And I think that that's in some ways, in a weird way, something that they've been training him for all season, right? It has been play within your means and make the plays when they appear to you. And you've seen that happen from time to time. Hell, you could go as recently as the Chargers game where early on the plays are presented to you. Can you hit those? And then boom, boom, you're up 14-0, right?
Right.
I think CJ has been pretty good at being opportunistic in that way. And so I think it's encouraging. It does not need to be CJ putting the team on his back to carry him. It's just make those plays when they're there. And at least in the wild card, kind of recipe that has been built this weekend, I think he's more than capable of stepping up to the challenge.
Everything you said is 100% true. Cover 3, cover 2, cover 0, hell, cover 9.
How would cover 9 work?
I don't know. My point is, no matter what you're looking at,
yeah,
and no matter, opportunistic, which everything you said is 100% right. All I'm saying is there's going to be a moment that where either Aaron Rodgers or C.J. Stroud has to make a play that we just went through them, from Caleb Williams to Brock Purdy. And some of it falls on Nick Cayley now. That touchdown that Purdy threw to McCaffrey, never run that play before all year long. Never. The tendency was to go inside. Tendency was to go inside or up or back or whatever. They changed it up. So it's like at some point, basically, your guy's got to be your guy. Your guy has got to be your guy. There's going to be great plays on defense. There's going to be some good runs, some run stuffing. Doesn't matter. We're going to be watching this game waiting for that one moment, and it's going to be either Aaron Rodgers or C.J. Stroud, and C.J. Stroud has to be the guy.
What's your confidence in that, especially not just in the individual but in the comparison? Because I know for you, mm-hmm. I've been sitting here talking to you all week long, all of last week, and one of the things that has been evident, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, you have a healthy respect for one Aaron Rodgers over there on that side, particularly as it pertains to making a play in that moment. Mm-hmm. What's your confidence level when it comes down to who makes the bigger or most important play quarterback-wise in this game?
I know both of them can do it. We've seen – that's the thing. It's not like C.J. Stroud. Like, it's like, oh, my goodness, I got to learn how to be off script and make a precise throw and make a big – no, he's done it. He hasn't done it as much as Aaron Rodgers. You're right. I have a very high respect for what Aaron Rodgers can do with his arm. But I think C.J. Stroud can be that guy. And I think the fact that Nico Collins, there's an opportunity there where if it is – hey, we're down by 3 points or we're tied or whatever. I think he has that confidence in himself and in Nico Collins to throw it. I absolutely believe that C.J. Stroud can do it. And here's the other part of it. C.J. Stroud is very, very cognizant of his legacy. It means a lot to him. He's been watching these games. He saw Caleb Williams, drafted behind him. He saw, he saw Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. He's seen these guys, Drake May, drafted behind him, all of a sudden elevate their stature, And I think C.J. Stroud is a confident guy. He's got it in him. He's done it before. I think there's a lot of pressure, but the kind of pressure that he embraces to take those risks and make those plays.
I'm actually going to disagree with you in this. Not that he's not a proud guy. He's not a guy that has belief in himself. But one, you could also even just argue his belief, his faith, implores him to have a certain level of humility and brokenness or what have you. But I also think the way that this team seems to handle their just general outlook, which honestly, I don't think you can divorce from the faith that permeates through all these things with a number of people stepping up to the microphone and first and foremost thanking their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so on and so forth. But it very much feels like the imperative imploration, if I can even coin a word, I don't know if that's correct. It has been like, don't worry about outside noise. Don't worry about what other people say. Don't worry about comparisons. Don't compare yourself to the Joneses. What we do works. Stick to the script. It's one of the things that you've actually been harping on all season long, the notion of C.J. Stroud buying in. And I think buy-in represents do what you're supposed to do. Your moments will come to make your impacts on these games. Mm-hmm. Be ready for them. And so I actually think that he will not let any level of thoughts of look at all these other dudes and what they're doing impact the way that he plays. I think he's beholden to those dudes that are beside him, the dudes that he has worked with since, the summer to get this team ready. And he'll come out and just make the plays for his brothers in that moment.
I think he has bought in. We've talked about it. I think he's going to fit within the scheme and the game plan. But don't be fooled for a second. C.J. Stroud knows that he's going to have to do something out of the ordinary, extraordinary, in order to, in those moments, if it comes down to that, in order to carry this team. And he's done it. He's done it this year. You know, we talk about the big, who was the game when he did that third and third, 27 to Nico, and all of a sudden made the, he knew in that moment, he said it. He said it afterwards. So, yes, buying in. Yes, you know, within the confines of the system. But also, yes, all right, it's time. You know, it's time. I got to take a little bit of a chance here.
Very, very excited for this from the 832. Can we go in a shotgun a lot more? That way CJ Stroud has more time in the pocket. I'm not sure if I would want – well, I mean, they're going to use some shotgun. They do that. I don't know that I want them to switch this up too much. Plus, I kind of like the way that they've operated out of play action. It feels like that has definitely gotten more solid as we go along. And, I mean, they've been a top half of the league performer, at least per DVOA, when they utilize play action. So this is where it's going to be important. As you mentioned, Nick Haley will also need to, you know, with this partnership with C.J. Stroud, put him in the best position to make these plays, as you were talking about, and use all the things that are available to him, and hopefully the additional day of prep manifests itself. Like, hopefully you see a game plan where they're ready to make a hay of this. Also, because C.J. Stroud might have a slightly higher, you know, impact, or need to have a slightly higher impact, because that team does pretty well against the run. And I'm intrigued to see just how effective the run will be, because it's never necessarily been a great run attack for this Texas team. But what happens if it's not as effective as it usually is, which honestly isn't like the most effective in the league? Then what does this game look like? It'll be interesting to see.
Man, this is exciting. This is having the stage to yourself. You know what it looks like, and you gotta go into Pittsburgh and exercise those demons and make a play to advance to New England, man.
Man, it's exciting time. Christmas morning, man. Playoffs have reached the doorstep of your Houston Texans. How are you handling this? How are you getting through the workday on a Monday, getting ready for this? Right?
Are you getting through a workday?
Yeah. Did you call out? Are you like our guy Larry Stafford, who's like, I'm here, but y'all not getting no productivity out of me? I don't know. Let us know. 713-572-4610. That's one way to get involved with the program. Also, we appreciate the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers for the live streams. YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, Twitch chat, 610 Houston. Get involved all day long as we gear up for the wild card playoff game between the Texans and the Steelers that you'll hear 7:15 on these airwaves. But we're leading you up to it. We're leading you up to the drive, who's leading you up to Texas Countdown at 4:15, which will lead you up to the football game. But there's never too much pregame for a Houston Texans playoff game. Coming up next, let's go to Matt Burke. Matt Burke, defensive coordinator of this team. Talked on Friday, and I thought there were some very interesting things on what to expect, what you can kind of look at and look for in this game versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's see and talk about that next. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. If you happen to be on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyer live streams, you'll be able to see that I am a man who can be, I can be susceptible to
peer pressure. You're swarming now.
I am in my Swarm City hoodie now.
Yeah.
Thank you to the anonymous person who brought these to us. But yeah, also just get on the live streams. There's a lot of people in there hanging out, chatting, getting themselves ready for this game.
They tailgating in there, man.
Yeah. Virtual tailgate.
Virtual beer.
That's right. I see our guy.
Some of it is not virtual.
Yeah, that is fair. I see our guy.
You ain't
got to
tell us that.
Rob says you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
Yeah, that is technically true.
Post a beer emoji in there while you in there.
That is technically correct. I don't believe that'll get you banned or anything, so go ahead and do that. I see you on the text line, though. Always a way to get involved. 713-572-4610. Man, my anxiety is all over the place. I feel you, just inherently. Somebody said, what's up, guys? Checking in from Pittsburgh. Apparently, it's cold and beautiful out there.
What's the vibe Texan, like out there,
Texans
man?
Texans fan everywhere, they said. So, hey, a lot of
salute
Texans
to the traveling Texans.
Yes, yeah, yes, yeah. A lot of traveling Texans.
I saw Ultimate Steve out there, yep. The Ultimate fan Steve.
Yep. Yeah.
830 says, I called into work. Loaded up the Madden, loaded up the coffee, loaded up 610, and maybe loaded up
the mat.
Let's go.
And maybe loaded up a bowl.
Yeah. Get your cereal in the morning. Sure, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. I feel like for those that have anxiety, I think that it's probably somewhat
medicinal.
That wasn't where I was going, but technically correct, which is, as we know, is the best kind of correct. But I think also, if you have anxiety in this game, I imagine a large portion of it is the Aaron Rodgers factor of it. Matt Burke talked Friday, apparently. I just forgot the weekend. But Friday, about, you know, Aaron Rodgers, a lot of other things also. But if you can give me cut one here, Fig. This was Matt Burke talking to Assemble Media about how Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers is performing right now at his age.
Yeah, still looks about the same. I mean, still has a deadly arm, probably. I would say, you know, over the years, and one of the biggest separating factors for me is just the accuracy. I mean, he can still put the ball, like, pinpoint wherever he wants it, back shoulder, down the field, over the top of someone, short, like wherever he needs to place it, the ball's going to be there. So we got to be good in terms of our leverage and where our coverage responsibilities are, because he can still, it's a long handoff whenever he wants to put it down the field. So the accuracy is probably what is one of his most elite traits, I think.
It's a lot of respect for the quarterback there.
Well, the accuracy is what I've repeatedly said. I know he can't run. I mean, he can run a little bit, but he can't run like he used to. I know he can get susceptible to pressure, and that's where really the game, you know, largely is going to hinge on what Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson can do. But if he does get that quick throw off, or does have time to get a throw downfield, as he just put, outside shoulder or over the top, you know, whatever it may be, back shoulder, the accuracy is it's the game.
Yeah, and
the accuracy is the game.
It makes sense as to why, just generally, but in particular, the message has been we need to be where we need to be. We need to be on our P's and Q's to be where we need to be, because an accurate quarterback will take any slight mispositioning and they will make you pay for that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think that some of this might be pouring it on thick in respect for Aaron Rodgers, but you don't want to take those chances. Mm-hmm. That brings me to one of the few places where you might have some questions. And that's not even right, really the right way of saying it. It's just the words that come to mind as I get there about this second safety spot. How are you feeling knowing that it might be Jalen Reed or Kayvon Wallace in that spot, or maybe even a little bit of both, depending on how things go?
It probably will be a little of both, won't it? I'm guessing there would be some.
I don't know. I think they tend to, like, when they put someone out there, they tend to trust them. Even Jalen Reed, once he got out there, they let him handle the responsibilities like a big boy.
Yeah, maybe. I think that's what the Aaron Rodgers and the offensive coaches are trying to exploit right now. I think, you know, one of the big stories in Pittsburgh is Pat Freiermuth, the tight end, has kind of been underutilized. He's really good, and that he's kind of been underutilized. Maybe that's one of the curveballs they throw. You know, they try to exploit that to keep the safeties honest. Maybe it's just, you know, in breakers or whatever it may be. But yeah, it's a factor. It's a big factor with Jalen Reed not having a ton of experience, 7 games. And then who knows after that how it's going to play out.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting. But Nick Caley was also asked about, or sorry, not Nick Caley, apologies, Matt Burke, defense coordinator for your Houston Texans, asked about one of the things that I'm actually most interested in, asked about the running backs, but particularly what makes Jaylen Warren effective as a runner, but also as a pass catcher.
Yeah, both backs are really good. Warren, really good contact balance, low to the ground, like just really runs through tackles, steps out of a lot of tackles. You know, I think both of them game well, obviously, like their leading receiver from a catch standpoint, just systematically, like they just like to get those guys in space. So, you know, the outside zone run game, trying to get on the perimeter, and then just in the screen game, the quick game, the check down, the swing passes, like they just design those guys to get the ball in space and take some one-on-one shots. So really going to be obviously just in the run game particular, like setting edges and holding our perimeter and tackling well, and then just trying to take up some of that space when they're trying to get them out. I mean, they're just trying to design those guys to get into space and get the ball in their hands and make them work. So really trying to take some of that space away.
We've talked, in fact, in the last segment about it's going to be a quarterback making a play ultimately, and I do believe that. But part of that is which team has the most success running the ball, because there's going to be some play action opportunities, maybe some, you know, a half step closer to the line of scrimmage, a linebacker or something. And rest assured, the Steelers, just like the Texans, are going to try to run the ball a lot.
You know what's funny? Mm-hmm. That answer that Matt Burke just gave is one of the places where I am most confident in this game.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers do depend a lot on getting the ball out to their playmakers and letting them, you know, do things yards after the catch.
Yeah.
Kenny Gainwell is going to get a lot of those. In fact, like I am looking into this game, and if I was a betting man, I'd be looking at Kenneth Gainwell receptions.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Getting the ball. You mentioned Freiermuth. Maybe he gets it. But specifically, mm-hmm. if you're talking about a tight end, Jonnu Smith, they like doing that with. Warren will do the same. But I feel incredibly confident about this Texans defense and their competence in identifying triggering quickly, getting there, and then also wrapping up swarming.
Tackling is it, too.
And tackling,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, tackling.
And so you talk about running backs, screens, things of that nature. Kamari Lassiter is a name that comes up on identifying, shedding blocks, getting to the tackle. Sheldon Rankins is a name that comes up identifying screens, mm-hmm. getting out there, helping, you know, shedding blocks, making tackles. The linebackers all trigger like hellhounds, getting downhill, making tackles. We saw it even in this past game with Henry Toto. We've seen it with Jalen Petrie. They have so much at that kind of second level, so to say, but even the first level, that are really good at attacking those types of plays. And that's bread and butter for what the Steelers team does. I feel like it's somewhat foundational for what they do. If you're talking about it where that's a heft of their offense, and I like your matchup there, I don't know that they can make enough mm-hmm. Explosive plays to make up for it. Now, of course, it requires you to be on your P's and Q's down in, down out.
You mentioned the two most important things when it comes to those types of plays. Identifying and then triggering.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one thing that the Texans, and really over the course of the season, we've seen it get better. I mean, because early in the season, we kind of wondered about tackling a little bit here and there, and maybe they were exploited in that 0-3 start with those types of missed tackles, breaking through tackles. They've gotten a lot better through that. Sheldon Rankins had a very memorable one that we talked about where he identified it almost at the snap of the ball and attacked. Same thing with Petrie, you know, could yep. do that, and Lassiter.
And then we talked about the explosive. DK Metcalf is one of those guys, right? Matt Burke is cut 4. How does DK Metcalf alter coverage for you?
You know, he's a really good player, obviously. I think just like, again, I think I talked maybe a couple weeks ago that someone asked me about Nico, you know what I mean, just in terms of like even being in phase with him and being, quote, covered or being on him, like he can still go make those plays, obviously can out muscle you, outwork you, can go up and get the ball. So, like it just opens up those sort of plays for them and really reopens some of their playbook. So, going to be a good challenge to try to slow down his explosive plays for sure.
And shots, you know, there's going to be a few shots both sides. Nico with CJ and DK Metcalf with Aaron Rodgers. At some point, it's going to be both these quarterbacks are going to just say screw it and take that shot to one of those guys. It's just a matter of how you play it.
Yeah, and I like the Texans' chances of handling up on that.
Yeah,
but we'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, somebody asked, and we'll probably have time to circle back around to it, maybe have a more in-depth conversation about it. The idea of, I just want to see Aaron Rodgers and his goofy helmet thrown around. I've seen people ask who's going to get the first sack. I am intrigued to see how much this game ends up actually having sacks and how much of this game is pressures where the ball gets out.
Pressures, I think, is going to be the story.
I think so as well. I think this might be another one of those, because we had a number of these types of games during the course of the regular season for the Texans where we go in and we go, oh, man, Geno Smith done been sacked 10 times, 50, mm-hmm. 11 times, and so there's going to be a whole bunch of them when you get into the game. And that's not actually how the game plays out.
Yeah.
But if there's pressure, I think you're doing your job. Also because sacks aren't entirely incumbent upon the defense mm-hmm. and the offensive line. The quarterback also matters, and I think Aaron Rodgers has done a lot of getting the ball out quick. And it'll be, I think, a question to be answered in this at all is just how comfortable is Aaron Rodgers with holding on to the football in this game? Because that can dictate a lot of this and whether they're even capable or looking to take some of these shots that we're worried about.
Totally.
Lot more within this game. But just some of the conversation that we heard from Matt Burke, the defense coordinator of this team, on the weekend. There's more stuff to hear from this, and so keep it locked with us here on Sports Radio 610 as we gear up for this wild card playoff matchup between your Texans and the Steelers. In fact, coming up next, let's get to our question of the day, and we're gonna keep it football related. What do you want to see tonight? And maybe what do you fear you'll see tonight? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a Texans wild card game day. You'll hear that 7:15, but obviously all sorts of lead up to it. We'll get you a truncated version of the drive that'll lead you into Texans countdown at 4:15, which will lead you into Mark Vandermeer, Andre Ware, John Harris on the call for Texans Steelers here on your home of the Texans. But now, question of the day, pursuant to that football game, what do you hope to see in this game? What do you think you'll see? And then also, what do you want to see, right? And what do you fear you will see? 713-572-4610.
Well, I'll start. 713-572-4610, mm-hmm. as Reggie just said. Get in on that and Twitch and YouTube. What do you want to see? What do you fear? What I want to see is, it doesn't matter how quick and smart Aaron Rodgers is, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson don't care. You know,
you want to see the what game was that where you had, was it the Titans game where you had Jeffrey Simmons busting through the line and sacking C.J. Stroud in the fastest? Yeah. You just want to see them do that.
Yeah. C.J. I mean, I keep my one little caveat all week long last week and today has been, boy, this guy can, you know, nothing wrong with his arm. He still has his smarts. I want that to not matter because he does still have his arm. He does still have his smarts. But if you're getting blasted on the edges by Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, just make it not matter. What I fear, and this is more of a sort of a bigger picture, longer term type thing, what I fear is those little hiccups, those little sort of scrapes and scratches in what this defense has been and what this offense has been, but really the defense over the course of the final couple of games, 2-3 games of the season, they don't go away.
Mm.
You know, there was some struggles. There was some big plays given up, here and there. Quarterbacks made some throws down the field. Again, and it wasn't just the Colts game. You know, it was, you know, all the way down the last three games or so. If that continues, that could be a problem with this guy. That could be a problem.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're coming for there. I think you might be somewhat in the similar places. This 832 texter who said they're very worried about the Steelers' tight ends and running backs receiving out of the backfield, especially Gainwell, who seems to be a weakness for the Texans. It might be relative in your mind. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at FTN Fantasy. You know I'm going to throw some data at you.
Mm-hmm.
DVOA versus running backs.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know where the Texans rank as one of the best defenses versus running backs?
Where?
Third best.
Mm-hmm.
At, you know, DVOA versus running backs. I will look at the same number for tight ends for you right now. And this is where it gets a little interesting because the Texans are, let me see, we're second best. Like, they actually, statistically, analytically, have been pretty damn good at limiting production from both of those places. But I think you know that anecdotally, in some instances, there have been instances of things going pretty well. Now, you ask yourself, is this going to be one of those moments where it goes against the trend or it stays with the trend? I'm inclined to feel that the Texans are well-equipped to handle this portion of it. Some other things here on the text line. Somebody said, want to see a legacy game for CJ, but they fear the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get that understanding.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I want to see the offense take a step in the playoffs, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's the wild card, and I know that ship has sailed when it comes to us thinking it's about to be fireworks in this offense, but I do want to see them take a step. I want to see them score in the red zone and not settle for the typical field goals.
Yeah.
What I fear is the offense going to let us down to the point that they probably could lose this game.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole Swarm City defense and stuff kind of means nothing at this point because they out of the playoffs.
Well, if they get eliminated, it would be a very
it would be very disappointing,
very
man.
Empty.
Very
it'd
disappointing.
Be more than empty. It would feel like a waste. Feel wasteful.
Yeah.
Because this defense, I feel very confident in calling it the best unit in all of these playoffs. I know that some people would say that maybe I should add arguably in there or top three unit in all these playoffs, but it's damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the type of unit that should be at least on championship weekend. And so if that was not the case, that'd be frustrating. No need to bring that negativity over here, though. Although we are saying what you fear, so that is fair. One of the things that I am going to be honest, I hope to see a big Jaden Higgins game.
Oh, God, yes.
I hope to see a big Jaden Higgins game because I think that would mean a few things. One, Higgins has done a good job getting downfield. He's probably been one of your more vertical elements in a season where we were looking at the wide receiver core and not seeing that real vertical element. That's one of the reasons why you look over at Tank Dell and you go, damn, it'd be nice if he were healthy because you know that he brings that vertical element. He's done a little bit of that towards the end of this season. And so that would be one thing. And then what that would also mean is I feel confident Nico would be getting his.
Mm-hmm.
That would mean that the Pittsburgh Steelers defense was in the torture chamber trying to figure out what to do with these two dueling 6'4 wide receivers running at him. I love the notion of that, you know?
Look, man, we're getting variations of the same theme about what you want to see. It all comes back down to the pass rush and pressure and suffocating Aaron Rodgers. But the same worry, different ways it's being discussed, it's Our offense and turnovers. That's one tech.
Turnovers is a good one. They've been good about not turning over the football. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a statistic that's been said a number of times this week. But that offense, this offense, funny as it is, it has the fewest turnovers of any team in Texans history.
Yeah.
The idea that they're just not going to turn the football over, they beat that drum so heavy that they actually made it to be the case.
Yeah.
So if you did see turnovers pop up, that would be quite a disappointment. How do you feel about this one from the 8-3-2? Expect to see us hold Pittsburgh under 20 points. That feels very reasonable.
Yes.
That's kind of law right there.
Yeah, that's been law. The name of the game, right?
Yeah.
Want to see the Texans run for 100 yards.
Oh, yeah. That would be enormous. I mean, both teams are going to try to do that. Let me ask you about this one. The Texans' downfall, how scared, their words, not mine, how scared the offense and D'Amico is. Now, what they're saying is conservative.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
And that kind of speaks to what you were talking about with the red zone, Figgy. Like, you want to see him sort of, quote, unquote, go for it. I mean, I guess you could state the case, it's the playoffs. Maybe they do that a little more. I think they're going to go the other way.
Yeah.
I think they're going to go the other
way. I mean, it sounds good to, hey, go for it. But I saw it last night with the Chargers.
Yeah.
How they tried to go for it and they couldn't get in.
And D'Amico's not wired that way.
I also think that, that maybe, not to say that they are looking at the rest of these wild card games and making decisions based off of those. Mm-hmm. But you can make the argument that that was a lesson to be learned from the first five games of this wild card weekend, is sometimes it's actually okay to take the points. Mm-hmm. We might have over-indexed on aggression. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to blame this on analytics, as a lot of people will, because there's a lot of instances where you look up and you go, the analytics would say take the points there.
Yeah.
And there were teams that were very aggressive this wild card weekend, and it didn't always work in their favor. You just named one of them in the Los Angeles Chargers. So maybe it will be, especially in a game where you look over at that team. I don't know that you're particularly fearful of their ability to run up the score on you, and you go, hey, kick these field goals at times. Now, of course, seven's better than threes every circumstance. But, you know, knowing that you have a Kaimi Fairbairn that they have a lot of confidence in, it might be worth being a little bit more conservative, at least in this game. I think that you get your job done on this game, then we have conversations to be made had about what how conservative you are to be. Mm-hmm. But in this game, it might actually be beneficial and okay to be a little bit more conservative.
Yeah. And the 2-8-1, getting back to the segment we opened this hour with, I want a legacy game for CJ. I fear the opposite. I mean, fair.
We mentioned that. Yeah. 8-3-2. Maybe this is the way that you need to go about things. No need to be too complicated. I just want to see the Texans score more points than the Steelers today.
Well, sure.
You know what? Fair.
Didn't even think about it like that.
That's a great point. I just want to see a win by hook or by crook.
I'm over here wanting to see the offense do good. Yeah. Hey, just score more points.
Hey, just score. Hey, just score, right? Somebody said from the 929, as a Bears fan, I want to see Aaron Rodgers sacked 100 times.
Oh, boy.
I kind of want to see that, too. I just want to see this old man. I want him look like a deer in the headlights.
End his career.
Where he just be like, man, the game ain't in me no more.
Yep.
You just want to see the helmet turned around backwards on him.
Remember the last time we saw Big Ben? I want that type of game.
I love the way Figgy hates the Steelers, and not even because the Texans are playing them. I hate the Steelers.
Yeah, I just want to see him go out like that. Yeah. He's a Hall of Famer, all that crap. Cool.
Maim him.
Yeah. Yeah. Get him off the field.
Yes.
I want to see the team win. Fear will be playing catch up to do it.
Oh, boy, that's a big part of tonight's game.
Yeah, if you can establish the game script.
And what's catch up? Is it
3 or is it 10?
It is behind, period.
If it's 10, that's tough right there. Yeah.
If you're behind at all, I think that ends up in that.
It's one thing if it's 3 or you down 7.
Yeah.
But if you down double or two score game.
Yeah, that's big.
And let me add this in here, because we talked a little bit about Kaylee's role in making sure to set these guys up for success.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see a week 17 Los Angeles Chargers-esque opening script. I want to see a script that operates so well that, you know, you set yourself up for success and then you put pressure immediately on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
How about something like that Colts game? Was it 23? Last game of the season? Hey, Nico. I'll hit you.
Yeah, first play of the game.
I'll hit you.
75-yard bomb. Yep.
Yeah, just, hey, Jalen Ramsey.
Set the tone right there.
How fast you running nowadays? Let's see. Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, come in and set the tone.
Boy, that'd be fun.
That would be wild.
Somebody says CJ hasn't thrown a 300-yard game this season. He won't start today. Offense complements defense. That's all.
Ain't nobody say you got to throw 300 yards.
That's right.
No, and I think
that's a better offense.
The name of the game has been like, hey, be excellent in the small places. We'll see if they can make that happen. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a Monday, on a Texans wild card game day even. But coming up next, I want to go back to the other games of the wild card. Let's go around the NFL and break down some of the other lessons and takeaways from the wild card weekend that was. We'll do that next.